Paperback Writers.
Good evening, my lovelies, and welcome to the Naked Book Club. And joining us tonight in the studio is to talk about his upcoming book is Carl Day, and the book is Ipswich Till I Die. Evening, Carl.
Good evening.
Carl is joined by David Lane and Steve Cowan, both from Legend Publishing.
Good evening.
And of course, I just interrupted you, didn't I? I'm having trouble reading this, that's the problem. And of course, we welcome our regular from Those Were the Days, Phil Hamm.
Hello.
Yeah. We'll talk about the book, of course, and how you too can become involved, and of course we'll discuss any other footy-related topics you may like to bring up. So, studio@icrfm.co.uk is the usual email address, and you can text us as usual again on 07973 851968. Right, Carl.
Yeah.
Tell us what this book is
all about.
Firstly, just a slight correction. It's not actually my book. The plan is to be the supporters' book, written by the supporters and their stories and memories. It's a project that supporters direct, who, through the trust we're members of, have done with Legends Publishers in terms of, I believe at QPR, Crystal Palace, other clubs have done it. But it's basically a book really designed for supporters to tell their stories, and it's used in an education way as well with children. Now, the actual funding is a combination of supporters direct, the Literacy Trust and Supporters Trust themselves, in order to get the book up and running and covered and paid for. These guys will probably give you a bit more information in terms of free copies going into the local schools, as well as obviously, you know, getting people's stories down, and it's a, you know, it's a fantastic product, really.
Mm. David, how did the whole thing start? Because you're Brentford supporters, I believe.
Yeah, we're both big Bees fans. Mighty Bees and Trust members. I've been a fanzine editor. I was editor of Besotted for Borsaland for 18 years. So this was really an extension of encouraging fans to have their opinions and voice their memories. So we started off with Brentford Till I Die, and it was brilliantly successful. You know, we sold out, and we raised a lot of money for the Supporters Trust. We moved on to QPR. We've done Watford, Palace, Derby, Aldershot, Watford, and
Walsall
as well. So it's clubs of all sizes, all colours, and basically, you know, what we're finding is, you know, it's they're real football stories told by real football fans. We use photographs of yourselves at the matches, just, you know, going back as far as we can, really. And it's about a sense of tradition. It's fathers and grandfathers passing it down to sons and daughters, and, you know, having the football club at the centre of your lives, and, you know, which is, you know, the centre of the community as well. So we've got some great funding. 600 copies of this book are going to go to local schools to be used as a curriculum resource, really, to teach them about the traditions of the club and how important the club is within its community. And it's almost like a social oral history product, really. I mean, we trace back fans at every club to almost the very foundations of the club itself, either through first person or, you know, in the Aldershot book, we've got someone who was at the first ever match at the recreational ground, first league match. He's 98 now, and he's still goes with his son, and we, you know, he came down and he showed us a picture of him going to the match on a horse-drawn carriage with his dad. And, you know, we start these projects, and we know that we're going to get gold dust, and we're always surprised how the fans come up trumps every time.
Well, like yesterday, we were out in Belfer, and we met a fella called Ernie, whose first game for Ipswich, was over 80 years ago.
Really?
And what he recounted to us about what it actually meant for a 14-year-old, because he's very senior now, to be going to actually get here from north of Belper, actually a little village right next to Clay Cross.
Where's that? Where's Belper? I can't picture it.
Derbyshire.
And it was incredible where we were, and we heard a story about the way that getting to a football ground, when you have to sacrifice so much of your money and your life, and it was absolutely incredible.
So we're looking for Ipswich fans to, you know, come up trumps, and I know that you will. I mean, I'm sure you can all think of a memory or think of an occurrence that will jump out or give it some thought, really, or someone that you know is such a character, someone who's got such a rich kind of tradition of supporting a club, someone that's really gone beyond the call of duty to support the club. You know, humorous, hopefully, emotional, hopefully, just real from the heart stories about the club.
Yeah, it's very interesting indeed. I mean, what's the best one for Brentford then? Come on, that's your specialist subject. What's the best story you had on Brentford?
The best story we had from Brentford was about a fella who was with his mates playing on a Saturday morning just before a very famous game, actually, in the mid-1930s between Brentford and Arsenal. The trouble was that the weather was getting darker and darker and darker, and just a little bit before the match, the weather deteriorated even further, and lightning struck in the park that they were playing. Tragically, one of his friends was killed on the spot, and he recounted how you could see the smoke coming from his body. He was also completely knocked out and went out, and he came round about 2 months later. And he still had, even though he was in his 90s, he still had the marks on the soles of his foot from where the metal studs were. And also he had marks where his watch was in his pocket. And despite that near-death experience as a teenager, he's still alive in his 90s. And quite stunning stories like that. Yeah. And already in Ipswich, we've had stories that will take your breath away.
Go on, give us a slight
An amusing one. I don't want to give too much
away.
We're not going to rise to the bait on this because it will spoil it. But you have some hilarious stories about someone who thinks he's the only Jewish supporter in Ipswich, who is going to tell him he's not, and how he once had a terribly difficult decision about whether to come to Portman Road or whether it was to celebrate fully Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful, funny, wry, offbeat story just about the tensions within the family and your own traditions. And we're not going to tell you any more about that story, but there's lots of them coming in already.
There's lots of lovely domestic turmoil stories of, you know, husbands and wives, you know, having to leave holidays and, you know, romantic trips to Paris sort of unfulfilled to go to cup finals and what have you. So
finals, you mean sort of like away matches at Tranmere? That's much more likely with Ipswich.
there's lots of those as well.
Well, we had one fella today who was with his girlfriend, and he got so carried away with the event and said, you know, if we win today, you know, I'm going to marry you.
Oh dear.
And he didn't expect Ipswich to win.
It's Cardiff, the point. It's Cardiff away in 1973.
Cardiff away. And
how romantic.
And what happens is Ipswich won, and they're still married, and happily married. So the supporting the club has shaped and framed many people's entire lives. It kind of is a framework that they live their life through. And what we're going to try and do in this book, and it seems as though it's already coming, is we're going to try and touch on those moments in people's lives that seem to be somehow framed by their fanatical support for Ipswich.
Well, I can confirm one particular story that I'm personally involved in, and I was contacted a few months back by an aunt of a lad that in his 30s was in a car crash and was in a coma. And through a bit of pressure, I actually got, with a lot of requesting, let's say, the club, through Jim McGilton, did a message for him. And Radio Suffolk also, sorry, swearing it, should also cut some commentary for him. And they played it to him over and over while he was in a coma. Amazingly, he was told he was likely not to come out of the coma, but 2 weeks later he came out of the coma, and the first word he said, apparently, was town. So, you know, it just shows you the impact, and you know, their family now want to put his story in, so it's fantastic, really.
So how do you see it working within schools, then? What sort of age groups do you see that the book appealing to within schools?
Well, what we're aiming for is to distribute 600 copies to Ipswich schools completely free of charge.
Mm.
And I think the way we see it is that we might give a number of schools, say 12 schools, 50 copies each. There'll be curriculum resources for teachers to use, and they could, for example, be the springboard for a unit on local history studies.
Mm.
They could be used in the early secondary school on things about citizenship. They could be used for recreation studies. They could be used very much as part of the English curriculum.
Yeah.
And because they're very accessible, they're personally written, they're direct, there's a lot of illustrations, a lot of materials in the book, it's the sort of thing that teachers and pupils can establish a dialogue with and probably enjoy, and then maybe share that within their own families.
So there's
a lot of scope, I think.
So if teachers are interested in getting involved or getting their schools involved, should they contact you?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going into two schools next Tuesday and Wednesday. We're seeing Westbourne High School on Tuesday and then Stoke High School on Wednesday. Hopefully we'll be addressing assemblies in the mornings of both of those days. And again, if there's any teachers or youth groups who think the people that the children that attend can benefit from being involved in this, then please get in touch.
I think Westbourne High School is where Kieran Dyer went to school, I think.
Really?
If I'm right, I'm trying to remember where they were all the...
Richard Wright, was he
first
one, was he?
Titus was Napton Heath, or whatever it's called, Holy Wells, and... Richard Hall, who went to my old school, Kesgrave High School.
Brian Talbot was Tower Ramparts.
Oh, that's gone. That's a shopping centre now.
So, so we will be involving children in this, but they won't be in just because they're children. They'll be in because it's a valid story in its own right, and the huge positives they can get out of seeing their story actually in print would hopefully encourage them to write more.
But another interesting feature of the book is that we hope, because it's the ordinary fans, it's not people who hold positions within the club, it's just the anonymous faces that form that huge crowd every Saturday. And the idea is that we actually offer a chance for people who have never really been writers and certainly have never been published to see something of theirs actually in print. In a book that belongs to their club and to themselves, and that's a really special experience to facilitate for anybody. So anyone with an itchy pen out there, please consider getting in touch and start writing.
And one point that hasn't been touched upon yet is any profit from the book is going to be ploughed in conjunction with the Ipswich Towns Community Trust in order to help young children and that develop and that for education as well. So the book is a non-profit organisational product, and the idea is any funds raised from the book will be ploughed back into Ipswich related activities with the community trust.
So I mean, it's a project that's kind of been driven by the supporters trust, isn't it? And it's interesting to see the collaboration between supporters trusts and clubs. I know the supporters trust Ipswich haven't always seen eye to eye with the club, but on this everyone's kind of singing from the same song sheet.
To me, it's an opportunity for supporters to put their stories into the fabric of the history of the club and have it, recorded for a book. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity that supporters should grab with both hands.
We've been keen. We're both trust members at Brentford, which we're lucky enough now to own the football club and run the football club. But it's just a way of bridge building. I think there is without getting into politics of Ipswich Town, but everywhere else we've gone, there's the trust and the football club's relationship has been buoyed through this, and I think it shows there's a commercial brain and there's an imaginative brain involved in the trust, and it proves that they can all pull together for the good of the Ipswich Town fans.
Have we got anything on the wires, Graham?
Yeah, we have, but not related to the book. So do you want to wind up the book for now, or do you want to talk about football? We've got about three
emails. Have we got any other things to cover
not about the book yet, no, but they're all football related.
Well, the only thing I would say about the book at the moment, we're working to a deadline of the end of October if we're going to get the book out before Christmas. If we get inundated with more stories, we may have to delay that in terms of for the filtering process. But the plan is at the moment is to keep the deadline to the 31st of October so we can have a chance to get it out. But again, if we get the more quality and the more stories that we can get, then we may have to reschedule that.
The plan B is Valentine's Day. You've got a home game against on Valentine's Day, so that could be quite appropriate as well.
And what is the contact details for some people who want to get in contact with you?
If you can do it by email, you can address it to David, D-A-V-I-D, at legendspublishing.net, all one word, legendspublishing.net. And the postal address is Legends Publishing, 18 Derby Crescent, which is Sunbury-on-Thames, Middlesex, TW16 5LA.
There you go. Or alternatively, if you can't remember all that, you can just email us and we can pass it on.
Yeah, I'll do it again at the end.
And Graham will do it again at the end, yeah. So, trust, we've not had you in for a while, Carl. We're talking about the trust. It's interesting at the moment, you're getting sort of a lot of criticism of Marcus Evans and people saying that.
Can I just dive in here then? We're talking about Martin. Because we have one email. Well, no, we don't. This is actually Derek Davis last week. And it's nothing. We're not doing anything behind his back because he actually published it in the East Anglian. So I don't know if you want to comment on this, Carl. This is a reply to a question. I won't read the question. I can do if you need to. His reply is, of course, Evans feels he's bigger than the club and the rest of us. He is the owner. And it's been obvious from day one he has a disdain for the people who made this club and have built his tradition. Sorry, still no glasses.
It's a literacy trust we need.
Yeah. This is the book programme and I've got any glasses. Even you speaking out and me answering will be hated in the corridors of Portman Road, yet Emmy still does nothing to communicate fully with the supporters.
What's the old trust view on something like that then?
Bit lowering.
We are still positively sceptical of the Marcus Evans purchase. We were quite vocal at the AGM prior to him taking over. Because we still not really found out his full intent. He is entitled to his privacy, and if that's the choice he takes, I'm surprised you buy a football club, because it's one of the most public things you can do. But he has so far delivered what he said he's going to do, and his money's been pumped in, and the club is doing it. I think the key bit now is the next AGM, what level of information is going to be provided to the smaller shareholders, which is really the majority shareholders in terms of numbers, because he doesn't technically have to go any more than basically a balance sheet and a set of accounts. But and I think I'm requested from the club to establish when is the likely AGM, because in theory it should be coming around pretty soon.
January.
It's January, is it?
What Derek Bowden told me when I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. But, only penciled in for January. And on the subject of accounts, he said that PLC, shareholders in the PLC, I mean, people who were shareholders in the club prior to the takeover are now shareholders in the PLC, which owns 12.5% of the club. They will get some... He didn't go as far as say accounts and specifically, but we'll get some idea of the finances of the club overall. That is an interesting point, is how much is given, isn't it?
Yeah, well, as you can appreciate, we've got a certain level of expertise within the trust, and they're pretty clear on what they believe that as a shareholder we're entitled to. Be interesting to see if the club delivers that information. From my understanding, talking to a senior member of the club recently at their golf day, they're instead of trading at a 2 million loss, they're currently trading at around about a 5 million loss. But there is resources in the account. So, the way they're working at the moment, most fans suddenly think, oh, there's this big chunk of money gone in. But although I understand there is a positive bank balance, in terms of actual P&L, they're still running at a loss, but it's just a slightly bigger loss, and it's underwritten by Marcus Evans. Now, what will that leave us with if promotion is not achieved in the next couple of seasons is a concern. And I feel that the next AGM could be quite an interesting one, because in theory, one of the members of the AGM is no longer even a director of the club in terms of Mr. Sheepshanks. So I think it would be quite an interesting one. But again, it's down to what information is provided prior and obviously what happens at the AGM.
Okay, so Sheepshanks is now not a director of the club.
He's a non-executive, yes.
But he's a director of the PLC still.
As the PLC as it stands, my understanding.
But coming on to the PLC, I mean, as the PLC owns 12.5% of the club, what is the entitlement of the PLC board, I suppose, or the PLC to have to be given knowledge of the accounts of the overall private company.
As a stakeholder in the business, you are entitled to see what the state of the accounts are, but in all fairness, because it's a minority shareholding, you're not necessarily entitled to see the entire books.
Mm.
So it's a case of finding out what information is going to be provided, and then, you know, and I can assure you, the minute we get our hands on it, we will be looking at it thoroughly and making whatever comment we feel necessary.
Mm. But I mean, you know, like, presumably there's not going to be any kind of surprises. Basically, we know that the club is running a massive loss because Marcus Evans is throwing some money at wages and transfer fees in order to get the side promoted.
Let's be realistic. From the Marcus Evans point of view, Ipswich are better for him to be in the Premiership than out of the Premiership. So it's in his interest to get the club up there. My only concern is once it's up there, what could happen to the club thereafter, knowing that half of the Middle East at the moment is trying to buy the Premiership, let alone certain players in the Championship, clubs in the Championship.
Hmm.
Now, there's nothing stopping him, and there's nothing that the 12 and a bit percent can do anything about it.
So, I mean, the overall atmosphere at Portman Road, when you kind of have meetings with the management, the business management side of the club, do you think it's changed much in the year? Because it's roughly a year now since Marcus Evans took over. Do you think it's changed a lot when the dealings you have with the club?
I've said on the record a number of times, I think Derek Bowden was probably one of the best things that ever happened to Ipswich Town. And he now seems to be running the day-to-day running of the business without, you know, any potential conflict with what was then the chairman of the day. And I do understand he's in regular contact with Marcus, so Marcus is well aware of the running of the club as well. And from what I understand, other than bringing some of his financial people in, it's pretty much, you know, Derek and his team running going forward. I think Derek is a very shrewd guy. I think, you know, again, I think he's the best thing that happened to the club. But, you know, and the club, my only concern is are they going to start chasing the corporate pound again and forgetting about the supporters?
As was kind of the perception when we were promoted before.
Yes, when they were promoted. I mean, I am a corporate member as well as a fan of my own. And, you know, in all fairness, as a corporate member, you get a lot of privilege. And they seem to be chasing, in my opinion, that probably a bit too hard. It took them a while to adopt the trust suggestion about if we were in a Premiership about reducing season tickets. And it was only when season tickets weren't taken up too well, suddenly they came up with this wonderful idea that we had suggested 2 months earlier.
Mm.
You know, the trust in the day is not there about supporting Ipswich as such. It's about the supporters, and we're trying to get a fair deal for the supporters. The book is a project that gives the supporters a chance to have their say, you know, in terms of the history of the club. You know, and as the trust we feel, it's our responsibility to look at, you know, the finances behind the playing.
So what have we had on the old wire then? Because we've got anything on there.
As Dave and Steve aren't particularly au fait with all things Ipswich,
I think we should make them answer anyway.
Well, yeah, no, we won't. I'll read out this one.
I have to do some really abstract answers.
I'll read out this one, which is to do with England. This is Ian from Ipswich again. This is the Ashley Cole booing. Fabio Capello says that English fans shouldn't boo their own players. In the eyes of most people, Ashley Cole is a greedy, disloyal money grabber, and that's just his life on the pitch. He alone sums up much that is wrong with English football today. That pat pass was just an excuse the crowd needed to let him know how they felt. It certainly wouldn't happen if Steven Gerrard had made the same mistake.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, that's what I'd like you to do.
I've got your England fan member as well, and I've travelled around with England. Didn't go Saturday. A lot of my mates did go. The rumour, apparently, this is unsubstantiated, but apparently Ashley Cole threw all his toys out of the pram before the game. Wasn't saying he wasn't going to play, but apparently his appearance fee wasn't transferred into his bank account before the game. And the rumour then spread like wildfire, and apparently it's something to do with that. You know, fans seem to find this kind of thing out, considering there's 90,000 people there. This news gets out pretty quick, and I agree wholeheartedly with what the contributors just said. He's a very disliked person, and I think, you know, adding everything up, I think he'd have been better off his wife had played.
Yeah,
he sort of seems to symbolise to me. To me, he's become the symbol of all that's bad in the Premier League and with Premier League footballers. And
it's pretty hardcore booing someone when they're on the pitch, whether it's for club or country. You know, it's good to criticise, I think, but you know, when on the pitch, you can argue whether it's right or wrong. But
do you get much booing from Brentford fans of Brentford players?
All fans get had to boo at some stage. You know, all fans are the same, no matter what colour.
Terry Butcher, you didn't boo Terry Butcher, did you? When he was
Terry
manager,
was terrible for us. He was. You know, obviously he's a legend up here for that completely other era. But
but football has changed so much. I mean, I was at a dinner where Sir Bobby Robson was speaking not long after he was at Newcastle, and he was asked the question, what's the difference between managing Ipswich in the 80s or 70s and 80s and obviously managing Newcastle now? And he said, now I'm surrounded by millionaires. Before, I had players that wanted to play football. And I think Rio Ferdinand himself admitted on the radio yesterday that, in all fairness, the football came second. And unfortunately, I think players are detached. I think the England current manager is beginning to change that. But being an Ireland fan, you know, couldn't give a monkey.
Right, go on then. You might be able to watch your match tonight.
I can see mine.
Well, you haven't got long, but I'll just read it. This is just an Ipswich one from James Cummins. Jordan Rhodes scoring goals in the reserves again. What do the panel think about his chances of getting on the bench on Saturday? Or is Super Jim planning to utilise the lesser spotted object that is Kevin Lisby's pace?
It's difficult.
I think there's a joke there somewhere.
He might go back. I think that's the thing.
Well, he might go back on loan.
So I don't know. But he's scoring goals. But then, you know, at the moment, everyone who goes on loan from Ipswich seems to score goals. With Billy Clark, I think he's second top scorer in League Two at the moment, or
and he's on the transfer,
something like that.
And he's on the transfer list. Does he like to come off that? Do you think?
It wouldn't surprise me if Kevin Lisby doesn't score goals between now and January, that when Billy Clark comes back, having scored hat loads of goals at Darlington, whether he might end up kind of getting into the squad at least ahead of Lisby, or at least competing with him for a place. So remains to be seen. But I think Rose is probably still a bit young. I mean, he's only 18. I mean, outstanding talent in the future, but there's plenty of senior strikers ahead of him at the moment, aren't there?
Have Brentford got any kids coming through that you think might set the world alight that we can buy?
I'm sure they're all for sale. We've got a lot of loan players ourselves, and you know, we have got some pretty good young talent. We're third in the division. We're having a really good season this year. It looks like we're going to make the playoffs at the very least. So, but there's a lot of players that are on loan, so probably have to ask some Premiership clubs.
I remember seeing Lloyd Owusu's debut at Brentford.
I won't do the hand gesture.
No.
There's a player at Histon who was released by Brentford who's making a bit of a name for himself, isn't he? I'm trying to think of his name. He's got a Nigerian name, but he's an Irish under-18 international. We were linked with him a little while ago. Does that description sound familiar?
Failed miserably on my bonus question there.
Oh, yeah, that's...
No.
I'll look him up in a minute when we get back to the...
Do you want to make a quick prediction for the England game while you can, as you're all England fans?
I won't watch it. Because it's on Satanta.
It's Sultana.
Well, my prediction is going to be a straight 4-0 win.
Yeah?
To Belarus? Or
no, to England.
All right.
3-0 England.
3-0.
Cut, you're doing the Ireland score.
Ireland should beat Cyprus by the odd goal.
Are you an Ireland fan?
Indeed I am.
And of course, rock on Wales.
Oh, Wales as well. Who are Wales playing tonight?
Germans.
Ooh. What about Phil? What are you reckoning?
I think it was 2-0. It's one of these games everyone goes, oh, we'll probably lose, and then we tend to win. It's a Michael Owen game, isn't it? These games, like away at Belarus, Michael Owen usually scores two goals, so it'll be interesting to see who pops into his shoes tonight, really.
And you and Carl want to quickly have a look at the Swansea game?
Difficult one, I think. Swansea are quite a good side. I think probably maybe something like 2-2. They'll score goals.
I think it'll be a very close game, but I think there's more confidence coming through the side now, and I'd like to see us, win by the odd goal.
Mm. So, should we do that contact details again?
Yeah, the contact details. If you wish to contribute to this fantastic sounding book, and you only have really to the end of this month, but they may let it run to Valentine's Day, especially if you can come up with a juicy story. Contact David at legendpublishing, that's all one word, .net. That's David at legendpublishing.net. And
it's
legends with an S.
Oh, legends with an S, sorry. Okay. Must bring my glasses next week, which is great, isn't it? And the contact address is Felix Dosa. No, it's not. The contact address is actually very, very posh. I've been there. 18 Derby Crescent. Do one of you actually live there or something? Or is that you live there? Sunbury on Thames?
Squat there.
Yeah. Oh, dear me. Right, yes, the contact address is 18 Derby Crescent, Sunbury on Thames, Middlesex, TW16 5LA. That's Middlesex, TW16 5LA. So, thanks everyone. That's thanks, of course, to Carl, who is writing the book with help from all of you lot out there.
Putting
it together.
The trust are supporting the project.
Putting it together. And thanks, of course, to the guys from Legend Publishing. That's Dave and Steve. Thanks, of course, to Phil. And for all those who haven't got Sutton today, for tonight's game, here's the national anthem.